this tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is August 22nd, 1984. The interview is taking place in Spokane, Washington, and is being conducted by Janet Rasmussen. Could you tell me your full name?
Yes. A name that I use now, Austin West, E-N, and initial J, Jortedal, H-J-O-R-T-E-D-A-L.
Yes.
I say my name in Norway was, the first name was changed on the ticket when I come over here. It was Øystein.
Oh, yeah.
There is no "ø" in the American language, you know, so they made it "o".
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that was spelled. But that's all right.
Right. So you've used...
It's my legal name now.
Right. You've used Austin all the time in the United States.
Legal name here.
Right. What does the J stand for?
Well, that's my father's name. In Norway, they use the father's name as Turkish initial. It's a middle name that is...
Mm-hmm. What was your father's name?
Johannes.
Johannes.
Yeah. What? It'd be Johannesson in Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, were you called Jortedal over there?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My, they're testing this alarm system off, aren't they?
They have
a quiet drill.
Oh,
they just to practice it, I guess.
They're just practicing it. Okay, well, we'll ignore it then. What is your birth date?
January 29th.
Yeah.
1890.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your next birthday will be your 95th.
That's right.
That's right. You said that your father's name was
Johannes.
Huh? And he called himself Jortedal.
That's correct.
What was your mother's name?
Gunhild.
Hmm?
And her maiden name was Mosdal.
Mosdal?
Yeah.
How would you spell that?
M-O-S-D-A-L.
Okay. Now, where in Norway were you born?
In Åkrefjord. Åkrefjord, or rather the county seat was Skånevik.
Can you spell that? Skån?
Skånevik.
Skånevik?
Skånevik, yeah.
Okay. And this is in what you call Åkrefjord?
Åkrefjord, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How far was that from, let's say, Bergen?
From Bergen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was... They call it 18 miles, Norwegian miles, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And from there to Bergen.
What was the landscape like there?
Very rugged.
Was it?
Mountainous. You can see a picture of it right there.
Oh, there we see a fjord, and that's a real typical Western Norway fjord, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the fjord.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's about... Three miles, Norwegian miles, long, that fjord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did your family have a little farm?
Yes.
A little? Acres and acres and acres.
Thousands of acres, but it was just pasture line.
I see.
Mountains.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was this property something that had been passed down in your family?
It originally belonged to Mosdal, my great-granddad,
mm-hmm.
divided it up between his three sons, Mosdal, and two went to Jortedal. And that is kind of deceiving because they, those two, came to the United States. They sold the place. And then my dad bought the place from a second party. And his name was Moe Snares, but you can change your name when you buy a home, get the title to it, you can change your name. So that's how I got to be the Osterdahl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your father actually purchased this farm. How old was he when he moved there?
How old was he?
When he bought that property. Had you already been born?
67. He was 20 years old.
I see.
20 years old, yeah.
Wasn't that unusual for someone to be able to buy a piece of property so young?
Well, it was, but in that case, there was two brothers and a sister bought it first. And they lived there, maybe 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And they got married and moved out, and he took over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It was. He was a single man yet. And then he married my mother in 1867.
Mm-hmm.
76, I should say. Now I got your mixed up there.
Okay.
1876, yeah.
Your parents were married there.
They were married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what year was your father born?
1847. Uh-huh.
Wonderful, you can remember that.
Oh, I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when you said that his name originally was Mosnes?
Mosnes, yeah.
Mosnes.
M-O-S-N-E-S.
Was he from that same fjord area, or was he really coming from some other part of Norway?
Well, some of his ancestors came from Telemarken.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, many years before that.
Mm-hmm.
But his father's folks, there's no record of where they come from or how long they've been there. They were real natives, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was related, had a relation in Telemark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when your father took over this farm, which really encompassed a large area,
mm-hmm.
Although you didn't have a lot of fields anything. Describe what you had there on that farm.
Well, they had raised cows and goats and sheep.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and then they passed the land they rented out. They gave the people brought their cows and horses and sheep and goats there, and they paid so much for the pasture in the summer. That was a real income.
Sure. So they rented out what we would call seater.
Well, ranch land is what we would call it here, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you asked them what they had. They had up to 14 milk cows there one time. There was some. I could show you a picture of it, but the home place didn't have enough. They couldn't cut enough hay on that place to feed all that. There was so much hay you could cut out in around mm-hmm. the wild hay,
mm-hmm.
and they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many children in your family?
Three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Two brothers and a sister.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the middle.
You were in the middle. What was your brother's name and your sister's name?
Jürgen was my brother's name, and Anger was my sister's name.
Her name was?
Anger. Angerd.
Ah, spell that.
A-N-G-E-R-D.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Did they stay in Norway, your brother and sister?
Well, my brother came over to the United States in 1904.
Oh.
And he was here till 1910. Went home, married.
Is this still going?
Oh, yes.
Went home and got married. And he thought he was going to bring her back here with him. But she didn't want to come to the United States. So in 1913, he came over here and he stayed a couple of years. And then she wouldn't give in, so he had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
They had two children already then, and then they had two more later.
Mm-hmm. Why was your sister-in-law so opposed to coming to America?
My sister?
Is it your sister-in-law? Why didn't she want to come?
Well, I don't know. They had a very there's a picture of us right there on the forest. That's what they call Elder Week. Her folks had a fine home there, a very fine home. And they were well-to-do, so they didn't want to give her up. They want her or my brother to take over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wouldn't give in, seems like. He had a good job here at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back here after being gone for 2-3 years. He was foreman on a railroad.
On a railroad?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they put him right to work in a few days after he got there.
Uh-huh.
So he had a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Free house and everything.
Was that here in the western part of the United
Montana.
States? In Montana.
Yeah. Glasgow, Montana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he make pretty good money at that job?
For that time, he made good money, yes.
Uh-huh.
He had good monthly salary and free house and fuel and things. Everything was free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was really, it was really at that time where his wages were outside. It was good money.
Mm-hmm. How much older than you was your brother?
About 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then your sister, tell me what happened to her.
Well, she got married, and they had 5 children. She married a fellow named Bjerkestrand.
Mm-hmm.
And he took over his father's place, and they lived there till she died. She got the that time they had Mama, you know.
What is it?
His sister got a disease.
Yeah,
she died. She died of tuberculosis.
Yeah, I guess she did, but that
and
wasn't.
Then she got tuberculosis.
Yeah, that turned into the. They claim. Mm-hmm. Now we're not so sure of that, but anyway, she had that. What did they call it?
Was that tuberculosis?
No, before that.
The tearing. Oh, they had the flu.
Yeah, the
flu,
Spanish flu.
Oh, the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what she had.
Yeah.
And she was so down, have all those kids, and she didn't have no strength to fight it off.
Yeah. So she died at about 34 years old.
I see.
But what's the name of that woman that took care of all the children?
That was her husband's
Serena?
Sister.
Uh-huh.
Serena. And
she did a
Yerkestrand.
Wonderful job, took care of all those 5 kids, raised them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids turned out okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they turned out fine.
Mm-hmm.
I still get letters from them.
Mm-hmm. Now, your brother went to live on his wife's farm, eventually settled there. And your sister was married.
Yeah.
And you came to the United States. So what happened to the farm that your father bought?
Well, he sold that farm in 1892, I guess it was.
Oh.
And they lived there about 10 years. Well, they were caretakers, and they got free. They could raise anything, all the sheep and goats and cows they wanted. But it was so far away from sea. It was up in the mountains, so they got tired of it, and they moved out, and he went through it. He was a shoemaker by trade, but his health wouldn't permit him to stay with us, so he worked at anything. Then he bought a share in a fishing outfit. That's what he lived off of.
Mm-hmm. So, if I understand you correctly, you didn't really spend all of your childhood on that farm, just a little part of it.
Yeah, I was there, like I say, I was there till I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Moose Nest, where my granddad lived there, and he was getting so old that he needed care. My mother took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in his home. He had a pretty good sized home there. I didn't live there. I worked out. I was a fisherman by profession.
You were?
Yeah.
How old were you when you started that?
14 years old.
Mm-hmm. So what would that involve? How long would you be gone and so forth?
Well, that was seasonal, of course. The different kind of fish we had, there were seasons for them. So I didn't work all the time in the same place. I moved. And in the winter time, most of the time, was out in Utsi, that is an island way out in the North Sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first 2 years I was out, I was cook.
Oh! How'd you like that?
Well, I didn't like it. It was too hard work.
14 years old.
14 year old. What sort of things would you make?
What? Well, anything they want, you know.
Yeah.
It was simple, of course, but I had to do it, and there was 24 of us, really, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that we lived on the second floor on an implement building.
Uh-huh.
And that I had to carry my water from downstairs, out from a spring and up, carried in buckets, and I had to carry my fuel up from it was very...
You had a wood stove?
Very primitive.
What did you cook on, a wood stove?
That's right, coal stove.
Coal stove?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So after the second year, I thought I was big enough to take care of myself. I'll be out with the rest of them, so I refused to take the job in the third year.
Was that typical that they put the young guys?
Yes, it was, that's right. They thought we were too young to be out there in the open sea, maybe. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the fishermen come in every day then?
That's right. They slept in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of fishing were you doing? Herring?
Well, out there it was herring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Herring, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Herring, yeah.
Then in 1905, I still was a fisherman, and then we bought an outfit for sardine fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you say we. Who was that?
That's my dad and a few more. We were 10 of us, bought the outfit. And we were all poor people and didn't have the money, but I had an uncle as well to do, and he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So he found this outfit. It was a second hand, but it was good as it hadn't been used, hardly at all. So we got it at a real bargain price. And he bought it and paid for it, and we were to pay him as we couldn't make it. But we were fortunate. We got it early in the spring, and I think it was in the latter part of August, or 1st of September, I forget the place now. We were lucky. We struck the school of sardines and signed it, and you had to hold it till you could sell. And we sold enough sardines to pay for the outfit, and we had a pretty good summer salary aside.
That was lucky.
That was lucky, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went for sardines, that would be in a different area than you'd go out for the herring?
That was right in this this fjord here.
Right.
Right inland, you know, way in the fjord. Mm-hmm. Sardines goes into the fjord.
Right. How did you work the nets on something like that, the fishing nets? How would you get a school of sardine?
Well, we had it stacked in the boat, mm-hmm. in the middle of the boat about, and we two of us had to throw it out. It was, one on each end, and top and bottom, of course. And we threw it out as the people rowed the boat. We were eight on the boat. There, six of them rowed, and the two of us. I was always throwing the net out, myself and a partner of mine, a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to be professional. That's all we'd done, practically. That was our job. Mm-hmm. And then we went around it, and then we pulled it into shore. Mm-hmm. And then that was in the big seine. Then we take a smaller one and put it in there and bring it in shore, closer to shore, and kept it there till we could sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Might it take a long time?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be finished today if you keep that up.
Oh,
we didn't get very far. Well, anyway, when I worked outside, I worked on a farm or any place off and on in between seasons, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in 1911, I decided, a friend of mine and myself, decided to go to the United States. My brother had been here, and
he'd just come home.
And he did come home in 1910,
mm-hmm.
the year before.
Mm-hmm.
We were going here then, but something happened, we couldn't. So in the 12th of March, in 1911, we left Stavanger in Norway on a boat to England. We had to wait for the big boat there for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Then we came on to New York, the boat.
What was the name of that boat?
Caronia.
Caronia.
Cunard Line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about 32,000 capacity. There was about 3,000 people on there. They were stacked there like sardines, as we know.
That you'd been catching.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your ticket cost you?
Yeah, what ticket cost me to Glasgow, Montana, about $84.
Uh-huh. Right. And who was this friend you came with?
He was a cousin of mine named Lundahl.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed there a number of years till after the war. There must have been there till in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back home, got married, and he died later.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone.
But he's then stayed in Norway
the rest of his life. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we separated long before he went back.
Mm-hmm.
He was homesteading and I did too.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you decide to come to Montana
Well, the reason for that, my brother had been working there before,
mm-hmm.
and he had some friends there, and he knew if I go there, I wouldn't go back and go to work. We came in there the 14th day of April,
mm-hmm.
1911, and at night, about 10:30.
Are we talking about New York Harbor now, or?
No, we're...
In Montana?
We're across. Oh, well, I should tell
you. Okay, well.
Maybe I should tell you, we come to...
I met this old son.
Well...
You won't know when we came to New York.
Yes, why don't you tell me...
Sardines and all that stuff.
Yeah, why don't you tell me about... Let's talk a little more about the boat trip first. Do you remember anything special from that?
Well... We were lucky to get a berth on the second deck.
Uh-huh.
And they had 6-7 decks there, you know. So we were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And the food was reasonably good.
Mm-hmm.
So we had no complaints. But sometimes the Italians and Greeks and the Southern European people, they travel on a cheaper rate ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them had been here in the States before and they knew our food was better up there where we were getting ours. And they came up there and you know, they used garlic and we weren't used to it, so they stayed a long ways ahead of us. We didn't... So we had some fun.
You had some fun with that.
Yeah.
That stink.
Did you know any English?
Nothing at all.
Well, how did you get along when you got to on the boat and when you got to New York and so on?
Well, there were interpreters there, so we got along fine on the boat, as far as that's concerned. Well, there wasn't anything special happened. We had nice weather, pretty recent. We had one little storm in the middle of the Atlantic, but not too bad. And it took us 8 days to come across.
Mm-hmm.
We 8 weeks?
8 days, about eight.
Days.
Oh, 8 days.
We landed, well, we came into New York Harbor in the 10th of... April.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't let us land on Sundays. There was happened to be a Sunday. So we had to stay till the next day, and we went through Ellis Island that all the immigrants had to go through before they could be permitted.
Describe what that was like.
Well, it was just, I don't know, we didn't see too much of it. It was a lot of big buildings in on the island there, and they put us into a great big room there, and we had to wait our time till they called us to come, and we went on through and give them the information they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then they let us go.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were there, it took quite a while. There was the Lutheran Church, had a Norwegian Lutheran Church. They had pastors there, and they helped us go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They helped you interpret and...
Yeah, mm-hmm. anything we needed help for, they helped us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went from there to the railroad station,
mm-hmm.
and boarded the train there, and we went as far as Chicago, and we stopped there and transferred there. And then we went from there to St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And we stopped there for one night and part of the day. And then we went over the Great Northern Railway, trained there, and went from there on to Glasgow, Montana.
And you said you got into Montana at 10:30 at night?
At 9:30 in the evening.
9:30.
Uh-huh. 9:30 in the evening, yeah. The 14th day of April. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we met these fellows. My brother must have, I didn't know that, but he had, I guess he had wrote to them and told them we were coming. So the three of them were there waiting for us. And we sat down there in the waiting room for a while, talked, and we were hungry and tired. We came on an immigrant train, they called it them days. Mm-hmm. And if you left your seat, you probably stay for hours before you find another one. There was too many on the train and the coach. And so we were dead tired, you know. So they tried to, first we went and got a good meal in a restaurant. I had no trouble there. There was a lot of people that time, but we got that through there fine. Then we went to look for a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. But there was no place to sleep, and there wasn't a hotel, several of them there, and there was no vacancies at all. And these fellas tried their best to find a place for us. They said, I'm talking, they said, well, a roadmaster, he was a railroad official. He was a friend of my brother. They said, he's got a big house. Let us call him and see if we can take you in all night. So they did call him, talked to him, and when he found out that I was brother to George, which was my brother's name, they called me here in the United States. And he says, send him right up to me, we'll take care of him. So we stayed overnight with a fellow named Anderson. He was from Norway too. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, we went out, and an old friend of my brother, I didn't know him, he came from the same place in Norway, but I didn't know him. He was a foreman there in the yards. He needed some help, and he put us right to work. Well, that was fine, but we had a little money, but we didn't want to spend it that way. So we had to batch it, we call it. So he took us to the store and bought cots and bedclothes and some utensils for cooking and keeping house. So that was fine, but he had to find a place to put it. But there was a couple of brothers and they rented a big shack there in Glasgow, and they were working for one of the fellows there. So they went and talked to them, and they let us move in with them in the shack. So we started housekeeping there. Mm-hmm. We were there 10 days, and then a brother to this first fellow that we went to work for, he lived about 12 miles out, and he was a foreman on the Great Northern there. He needed men, and he wanted us newcomers because they were always counted as pretty good labor, the workers, hard workers. So we went there with him to work for him, And there we got the free, they had a labor house, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
We got free house and free water and fuel and everything. So that was a big lift for us. And we went there and I stayed there for months. And
for how long?
For many months.
For many months, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then in 1912, then I got to be relief foreman, they call it. I couldn't hold a steady job, but I could get relief jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had taken up a homestead by that time, and I had to be there. So I couldn't go out away from this. I had to work part of the time labor. But anyway, I made a living.
Mm-hmm. You say you had to work part of the time labor?
Yeah, I had to work. I couldn't hold a steady job because I just fill in.
Uh-huh.
See?
Right.
So I had to work just labored in between times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a big difference in the price.
In the wage?
Wage. I didn't tell you that, but we started with 15 cents an hour.
Yeah. You laugh at that.
15 cents an hour, yeah.
Labor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Foreman was getting $70 a month. See, that was a big lift. Big jump.
Now they get $7 a day.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, 15 cents an hour, how long was your work week?
10 hours.
10 hours a day?
Yeah.
Did you work 6 days a week or five?
Six. Maybe six.
Mm-hmm.
You will never be through today if you keep
going. What sort of work did you actually do?
We were section laborers, they call it, or section foremen.
Yeah.
That was to maintain a certain, about 7 miles of railroad tracks and the main line, and there's some small tracks between there. Then we had to do anything, mostly pick and shovel work.
Uh-huh.
And we had to change rails and whatever we needed, ties and everything that was needed.
Now, how many of the people that you were with there on the railroad crews were Norwegian?
Well, they were, first summer I was there, we were eight of us in the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's only one American born, not Norwegian descent. They were all Norwegian, all spoke Norwegian. I didn't learn anything. That summer, hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fall, they laid the men off, so there was only two of us left, laborers. So one, he was like myself, he was a relief foreman. He come in and took the place there. And he was Norwegian, but he couldn't speak a little English, so that helped some. And the foreman was Norwegian too, but he spoke English. So when they said a fella, this partner of mine, got a job as foreman again, they put another fella on, and he was an American-born fella, born in Iowa. English parent, English father, and German mother.
Mm-hmm.
Could speak Norwegian. He grew up in a Norwegian settlement out there. Well, that fella, he helped me so wonderful. In a short time, I learned a lot. He said, any time you can't understand it or express yourself in English, he says, speak Norwegian and I'll interpret it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, was a great help. The next spring I was getting along real well.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any real difficult or kind of silly situations because of the language problem? Do you ever remember that you had any special?
No, there was so much Scandinavians there. They helped me along, mm-hmm. so I didn't really have any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I got along pretty good there. I should tell you one funny thing that happened, though. Mm-hmm. I was batching it there, as I told you. And I had to buy some groceries, but I didn't know the name of things, you know. So my boss, he acted as interpreter, and he took me to the store, and we picked out what I wanted. And I thought I saw some crackers in there. And I thought I'd like to have some crackers, too. And I told him that. And I told him, said it loud, I guess, to him, in Norwegian, checks, crackers is checks. And this lady that was running the store there, she heard it. She says, yes, sure. She says, I'll cash his check.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Now, anyway.
Yeah. Now, what was it like in Montana where you were there in Glasgow? Well, how was it?
Well, in the summer, it was awful dry and hot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind the heat so much, but in the winter time it was cold, awful cold, and I didn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up with it for 10 and a half a year, 11 and a half a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I got tired of it and finally quit there and moved out here.
Okay. Well, let me hear a little bit about the homestead that you did build up there.
I took up a homestead at quarter section land, and it's about 4.5 miles from the town where I worked.
Glasgow, no, or is this another town now?
Tampico was the name of this
Tampico.
Place where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was kind of a walk, you know, to walk, but I spend my weekend there on the homestead, so I my time counted in there on the homestead. I still couldn't make a living outside. I didn't have money to buy equipment to farm. I had to hire that done and rent it too sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled that up. And then I moved away from Tampico in 1919, went to a little town named Fraser, and I was there a few months. And in the spring, I went to, spring of 1919, I went to Hinsdale, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
It's former there. And then I stayed there for 3 years. 21, and I quit.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get transferred, but there was a misunderstanding between the bigger officials, and they wouldn't pay no transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit. Mm-hmm. Started out new here. I came out here on the way to. I had intended to go to Seattle because I knew an official there that I knew would give me a job whenever I come, whenever I ferry. But on the way, when I came into Glasgow, I stopped here one day and looked around, and I liked Glasgow. So I went, was on my way to Seattle, but the roadmaster was on the train and he knew me. I worked for him in Montana. And he knew me, and he needed a man here, the foreman.
In Spokane?
Yeah, well, outside of Spokane. And he asked me to help him out and take the job, and I did. I went to work with my dress suit on. And
just that day, when you were traveling?
Yeah. So I was here about 10 days, I guess. Then the officials started to look into it. I had to make some reports and some applications to they found out I was working here. And I still holding my job over in Montana. So they gave me the choice of either coming back or quit. I made a mistake there. I went back and worked there a few months. And then I came back and felt good.
So it sounds like there was quite a bit of confusion in this. This was all for the Great Northern?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was confusion. It was enmity between the officials. That was what cost. I could go to work for any one of them, but I had to quit. They wouldn't let me transfer like we should have. Well, the seniority was big item them days too, you know. We didn't like to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
But I did anyway. I was single and all. I wasn't worried.
Well, did you have to take a much lower wage then when
no.
you came here? No.
No. Mm-hmm. Went to work for the same pay.
So, you had this job waiting here in Spokane or in this area. Is there any other reason why you decided to settle here?
Well, it's because it was so cold over there. I didn't want to stay there any longer.
Yeah,
I had a little trouble with the cold. I didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 60 below zero is pretty cold, you know.
Pretty cold. Did you sell your homestead then, finally?
No, not then yet. No, I kept it for many years after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I rented it out somewhere.
Mm-hmm. When you left Norway, did you have some thought in your mind that you would come back or go back there so and so many years? What did you really think you might do?
I thought and I promised my folks that I would come back in 10 years.
Now, we're talking about the... You said that even when you were...
Well, before I left Norway, I had planned on coming over here to live.
Yeah.
Not
right.
to go back there to...
What did you think about America that was... that made it an attractive place?
Well, we had lots of relatives here and kept us informed, and we learned a lot about America before I came here. And I got an impression that this was pretty good, and I found it that way when I came here.
Mm-hmm. When you say pretty good, what exactly are you thinking of?
Well, pretty good, better than we had it.
Mm-hmm. Now,
future was better. Young.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. When you went back after 10 years to see your folks, what did you take back with you from America?
Oh, I don't know. Then I can't tell you. We just
anything special? Yeah.
I took a few little things with me, of course, gifts or something. Nothing special, I was just traveling.
Mm-hmm. How long were you able to spend with them?
I was there about 4 months that time. Close to 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is in 1921 now?
No, that was in 21.
Mm-hmm. And that's the first time you had gone
that's
back?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did everything seem different, or?
Not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Some improvements, but not too much.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you were of an age when the First World War broke out.
That's right.
That you might have gone into service.
Well, I can tell you that I didn't think I was getting a very good deal there, but I that's what had happened anyway. When I was foreman in Tampa, from Montana at that time, and I had 11 men in my crew that early summer, and they were all, 9 of them were shipped from St. Louis, Missouri, Italian boys, and when they signed up for draft here, after forward to Clare. They all quit and went back to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I had only two men left. And they were of military age. We were pretty all of us of military age at that time. No, draft age, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And, I stayed a while, but then I had to have more help. And I had to go and hire kids 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to learn to work with.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was going to say, you wondered why I didn't go into the war. And lots of people thought that was funny, I didn't. But one day, they drafted four, we were 16 in that district, mm-hmm. foremen. They drafted four of them one day, and the government had taken over the railroads by that time. When they found it out, they stopped it right there and then sent us a written notice, that we couldn't quit working, we couldn't even quit to enlist. And we were what they called it, frozen to the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there the rest till the war was over.
Right. So it was regarded as a kind of war service to work on the
That's
railroad.
What we thought. But when the war was to an end, we were overlooked. We didn't get no raise in pay during that time while everybody else got the raise. But we didn't, and we were ignored.
Mm.
So we felt bad about that, but there's nothing we could do about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever go to school in this country or take
no.
any classes? No.
My school has been newspaper and my dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever read Norwegian-American newspapers or?
Yes.
Which ones? Do you remember?
Scandinavian, Visegutten,
mm-hmm.
and another one too, I forget. And now I got a Viking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've had, this one is half English and half Norwegian. But I've had Norwegian literature all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I haven't forgotten my. I still give correspondence with 10, 11 of them in Norway yet.
Now, when did you become an American citizen?
1917.
Uh-huh. How did you go about applying for that?
Well, we went to the county seat, and there was a man there to take care of that our application.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to wait till the court was in session to answer the questions that they put before us.
How did you study for the questions you were going to be asked?
Well, I bought a book
mm-hmm.
that gave me a lot of information, and I studied that. And I went to for the judge, and there was an inspector there that asked us the questions, and he was tough. We were, I don't know how many, forget how many, but there's only one passed in the forenoon. And I thought, sure, I was going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I went up, I was probably third one up in the afternoon. And he asked me quite a few questions, but I managed to answer every one of them. And so the judge says, he's okay. That sounds good to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was fellows there, was one American born that went into Canada and took up homestead, became a Canadian citizen, and he was applying for a citizenship
American?
Here, uh-huh. But they were tough on him. He didn't make it when he went up the first time, but he had to come back. I don't know how.
Uh-huh.
turned out. I thought they were really, they were mean to him, I thought. Because he was an honest fellow, I'm sure. Thought he was going to better himself, but he found it wasn't what he had expected, I guess.
Now, did you get free travel by the railroad since you worked for the railroad?
That's right, I still have.
Uh-huh. You still have it.
If I want it. I got life pass. Golden pass.
Do you remember when you first got a car?
Pardon?
When you first bought an automobile?
Yes, I bought I bought it in 1919 in the spring. Bought a new Ford. I bought only half share of it. Two of us bought it together. But in the meantime, the war was over and the soldiers came back. And this fella that had a right to my section, seniority right we call it, he was taking care of his brothers. He was the section foreman too. When he came back from the army, he wanted his job back, and this brother that had been taking care of his things there, he wanted to come back to his old original place. So I had to move. 1990. So I sold my half interest to
in that car. Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a second-hand Ford at Hinsdale, Montana. And I had three of them in my time.
Now, what model Ford was that?
Well, one was a 17, and one in 19, I guess, and 21 model. Yeah, then my next one, after I came out here, I bought a Star, they call it. And I had that after we got married, and the family grew too big, I had a Well, we're getting ahead of our time.
Well, but was it hard to learn to drive?
Hard to learn?
Yeah.
Not too bad. You know, country's wide open there than this. Not like today.
No.
So I got along all right.
Were there any things like different kinds of foods and other different ways of living and doing things that really surprised you or that you learned to like even after you got here?
Well, yes, there was a lot of things here, you know. Different, yes, there's quite a bit of difference in the food. And we had to get used to that. It wasn't too bad.
Well, let's talk some about your time here in Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
You moved here. In what year now would that be?
In 1922.
22, you moved to Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
And
in August.
In August. And where exactly did you settle?
Well, I first I settled at Edwall. I was there for a few days, a month maybe. Then I went to Bluestem, another one for a few months. I was there for a month or two, or something like that. And then I bid in a permanent job at Moeller, Washington.
Well, how do you spell that?
Moeller, M-O-H-L-E-R. Yeah. Then I moved from there in 1927 to Marlin, Washington. And then I knew we got married in 28 and moved in there, and we lived there from, how long was it?
We lived there two years.
Gladys
was 13 months when we moved to Edwall.
It was in
And we lived in Edwall.
It was in 30 we moved from back to Edwall.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there, well, until 35 we was there, and then I got bumped, so I had to buy a home in Spokane for my family. And I came in here and lived for a while, and then I moved back to Edwall when I could hold a permanent job there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there then till 39,
yeah,
in the fall, when I put in a job here at Hilliard, Washington.
At what's it called?
Hilliard.
Hilliard?
Yeah. And I was there till in the fall, November
17
first.
17 years.
November 1st, 1958. Then we moved to our own home. Well, we moved into our own home before I was retired.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there until we moved here in 1975.
Here you mean to the retirement home?
Yeah.
The River Terrace. Uh-huh. Right. And you worked for the railroad all those years?
47 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, how did you meet your wife? She's also from Norway.
Well, in 1925, my mother was getting pretty old, and I wanted to go home and see her before she died anyway, so I went there for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way, I still had my homestead land in Glasgow, or near Glasgow. And I had an old friend there, and he happened to be at the railroad station when the train stopped there. And I had to get off and do some business there too, about my land. So he told me a story, he got acquainted with a nurse there when he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally married her. And they just married before I got there. And they had rented an apartment to live in, to start with anyway. So he says, it's about dinner time. He says, you better come along with me, have dinner with us and get acquainted with my wife. So I did. And while we were talking there, she told me that she had a sister in Haugesund, Norway, a nurse there.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew I was close, my home was close to that, so I would probably go there. So she wanted me to take, to greet her for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fatal step.
That was a fatal step, he said that.
He didn't tell a real story. He was going to go home and marry his a child friend.
Oh,
and
he
she didn't
go.
Want to come to America.
Yeah, that
I had already applied to go to America a long time before I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I have four sisters here, and I have money enough to go to America and go home if I want to.
Right.
And this fellow, I couldn't get rid of him. Been married 56 years.
Yeah. That sells a story.
Yeah,
that's
the side of the story.
See, she followed me over.
Oh,
that's
on.
His way.
I didn't know you at all. So I think we better get ready and go to eat now.
Well, okay.
No.
Well, now we're back here after a little break, and I did want to ask you, since your wife says that you had this girlfriend back home, had you in fact thought about going back to marry a Norwegian woman?
Yeah, uh-huh. She wouldn't come to the States, and I didn't want to settle there, so that's
mm-hmm.
settled out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was that...
My brother, he did that, and I wouldn't let him.
You weren't going
to...
Right. Why did this friend not want to come to the U.S.?
Well, she was so happy, was she?
Was.
Uh-huh. That was her idea, I guess.
Right, yeah. So, now, which year was it that you did marry? What year did you get married?
In 28.
In 1928?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And did you get married in Norway or in the United States?
United States,
in
Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
All right.
She's working there that time.
I was working at Chicago Hospital, Cook County Hospital. Mm-hmm. And this fella come around and I was an old maid, 23 years old.
Yeah. So. I had a rescue.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Rescue. I would have get along fine without you or any man.
Well, we'll hear more of the details when we now get a chance to, yeah, to talk to Mrs. Jortedal and get her story. Let's just briefly talk a little bit about your life here in Eastern Washington. What sort of a Scandinavian community was there in Spokane when you first came through this area?
Very strong Scandinavian that time. I joined up with the Sons of Norway when I first came here, and there was a lot of Norwegians mm-hmm. came in here. And of course there was, out on the street you could meet any Swedes, Danes, or Finlanders.
Mm-hmm. Were they clustered in a certain part of town, or?
Well, yes. Main Street was the main hangout, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
What sort of Scandinavian businesses or stores do you remember from that time?
Well, I cannot say. I'm trying to think of one. There was one outstanding.
Only one I can remember, Westlake Grocery Store.
Well, he wasn't. No, there was a Johnson's butcher shop and fruit store. That was in the grocery business, but there was a, what was that big general store here? I forget what his name was. I think they're still in town. Mm-hmm. I can't say that now.
Pueblo?
Huh?
No, it wasn't Pueblo.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. No, there wasn't any.
It was a Scandinavian name. But,
But could you go in and actually order your groceries in Norwegian if you wanted to? Or?
If I could?
Yeah. Could you do that certain places in town? Go
well,
in?
Oh, yes, you could. Sure, you could. The Johnsons, they were talking Norwegians there all the time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the main store. There was, I suppose, several others. Mm-hmm. But I didn't live in Spokane them day when I first came here. I was working out in this, out along the different towns out along the railroad.
Right. Places you mentioned, like Anwar.
I just come in here first. Oh, for some recreation or for mm-hmm. some special business.
Well, did you have contact with Scandinavians in these smaller communities at all?
There wasn't very many, but mostly Germans and Irish out along the line there. Mm-hmm. There were Danish out the other side of Odessa. There was some Danish people, quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. There was a few Danish, but not very many Norwegians out along the line there. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
No. What did most of the Scandinavians you met in this part of the part of the state, what were they doing? What kind of jobs?
Lumbering was logging would be the main thing, of course. And then carpenter work and construction work, you know. But lumbering was the main thing. Mm-hmm. And some farmers here and there, you know, scattered around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Now, you mentioned the Sons of Norway. What sort of activities would they have going?
Well, they met there and they had Norwegian singing, maybe a little speaking, some speakers to Norwegian. And later on, when I first joined it, I don't think they had much. I didn't see any anyway dances, but later they would have dances in the hall. But they were mostly singing and telling. Somebody would make a speech. Mm-hmm. About it.
Did they have their own building where they met?
They rented. Well, when I joined up, they rented, but later they bought one home, a building for their large hall, and they rented out the rest of it. Now they built hall for themselves. Mm-hmm. That is new. Mm-hmm. It isn't finished yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of groups were going here in Spokane at that same time that you may not have joined but that you knew existed? Were there other Norwegian or Scandinavian groups that you knew about?
Oh, there was other Scandinavian groups, yes, but I didn't have anything to do with them at all. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
How about your church connection? Did you belong to a Norwegian, what you would call a Norwegian congregation at any time?
Well, until we were married, I only come in here to Spokane to Norwegian or to Lutheran service. There was no Lutheran churches out along the line where I worked.
Right. When you came into town, would those church services, would they be in English or would they?
They were in English, except there was Swedish service, and I think there was another Norwegian church who was serving, but we belonged to our Savior's, mm-hmm. Lutheran. And we had men for a few years, a retired pastor that served us Norwegian.
When was that? What years would that have been? In what decade? The 50s?
Well, it was
40s?
In the 30s.
In the 30s, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you went back to Norway 10 years after you first had come over.
That's
and then
right.
You went back again, was it in 1925, to see your mother?
That's right.
After that, how many times were you able to go back?
We were back in 66, 68.
Two times more, yeah, then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a short visit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We flew that time, the time before I had to go by boat. Mm-hmm. Both times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it like to see the country after more than 40 years had passed?
Well, there was great changes made and improvements made that during that time. Mm-hmm. And still more now, they tell me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're really advanced there in Norway or in the Scandinavian countries. They seem to be keeping ahead of the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much did you continue to use your language with your wife or in your family life and so on? Did you keep that up some, your Norwegian?
Very little Norwegian we speak here. Very little. Mm-hmm. But we have books and we can read. And,
mm-hmm.
We don't speak Norwegian hardly at all together. It's mm-hmm. just something special. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you to be a Norwegian? Can you?
Well, I'm proud of it.
Right.
He had good reputation.
Mm-hmm. The government is just the same here as in Norway. Freedom.
Oh, well, I wasn't talking about government, but I was talking about people.
Mm-hmm. What, when you say a good reputation, what did you notice that when you came over here, that you felt people looked at you or in a certain way because you were Norwegian? Or?
Oh, yes, you know, especially more so at that time than now, I believe. They notice us more than... Probably some of them would try to push us aside, but we try to keep our own, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say is typical of the Norwegians as a people? If you were going to describe,
I'd say it's a nation, yes, nationality. Yes. We have a reputation of being honest and industrious, independent or dependable people, and I think we can keep up with them, average in the knowledge.
Have you had any kind of sort of personal philosophy or something that has some way of looking at life that you think has made a real difference in your?
No, that is a hard question to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is. It is a hard question. Yeah. Are there some other things that you remember now, looking back on either coming over or settling in, that you would like to talk about?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
I'm sure we left out some things in there. Kan vi snakke litt norsk her nå til slutt?
Jeg kan snakke norsk.
Ja, det hører jeg jo godt.
Riktig bondespråk.
Riktig bondespråk. Kan du fortelle litt om dine barn på norsk?
You will wait a bit.
All right, we'll do that. All right, yeah, det kan vi vente med til vi snakker med din kone. Men kan vi snakke litt om... Hva du husker, la oss snakke litt om fra din barndom. Hva du husker fra julaften hjemme da du var barn. Kan du fortelle litt om det?
Ja, vi hadde alltid hatt noe særskilt for julaften. Julehelgen var det for 2-3 veker der. Jeg hadde alltid noen nye klær og noen ting nytt.
Ja.
Det var spiser, så hadde vi almenn noen særskilt for den.
For eksempel?
Well, vi hadde fløtegrøt.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Så hadde vi lutefisk.
Aha.
Og fersk fisk. Vi måtte ha en fersk fisk for jul.
Jaha, det spiste dere ikke så mye av ellers om vinteren, eller?
Ha?
Dere spiste ikke så mye fersk fisk om vinteren ellers?
Ja, vi hadde bodde og når vi var ung, så hadde vi fersk fisk, hva de som helst.
Åja.
Hva de ville. Og vi var rett til den ved sjøen. Vi kunne gå ut og fiske hver dag.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Du har ikke savnet sjøen her hvor du bor.
Hæ?
Du har ikke savnet sjøen her da. Du har ikke savnet sjøen her. Her i den østlige delen av Washington.
Nei, det er langt ifra sjøen her.
Det er langt ifra sjøen, ja.
Men vi har så mange innsjøer her, vi kan gå og fiske.
Mm-hmm. Vel, jeg sier tusen hjertelig takk
Ja.
for samtalen.
Ja.